Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I am Bama John. Today we will preview the Louisiana Monroe game. I will also tell you why Bama will rebound and still make the playoffs. I think they're going to correct course. Today is Wednesday, September 3rd, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 3,900 subscribers to the YouTube channel and growing. Subscribe, like, hit the notify button. And if you're listening to us on our other podcasting outlets, please go ahead, follow, like on there. Today, we're joined by Will K. and Gary G. Money. So guys, let's jump in here. In the aftermath of the Alabama loss 31-17 to FSU on Saturday, the fan base and the Bamatures are still reeling as the team started this season the wrong way. It's really step one of 12 steps in the season, but that step went the wrong way. Call it a misstep. Many are calling for DeBoer to be fired and throwing in the towel on the season. I am not that person. More to come on that topic. All right, guys, how are you doing today? Gary G. Money, how's it going today?
Everything's good. Ready to talk some Alabama football and hopefully strike a positive tone.
Okay, you feeling the optimism?
It depends on what you mean by that, but like you mentioned, there are a lot of people that are, I would say, overreacting, and I like the British expression, keep calm and carry on, and I think that's what we need right now.
All right, Will K., how are you today?
Doing well. Just want to see Alabama get back on the field, see if they've improved at all.
Let's course correct. So, all right, first, guys, let's jump into the preview of Louisiana Monroe. There's not a whole lot to talk about. I'm gonna throw a couple of points out here, and then I'm gonna let you guys jump in. Number one, Alabama's got elite talent. Louisiana Monroe does not. They're a mid-major. Alabama's got a power rating still of 13 in the ESPN power ratings for what that's worth. Louisiana Monroe is 110. When I look to see if Louisiana Monroe has any projected NFL draft picks on the team, there are none currently. That doesn't mean some guys can't emerge, stand out this year, and they get one or two guys drafted. But just if you look at the draft roster and draft potential of our roster versus theirs, we've got the superior talent. I will say that Louisiana Monroe rushed for 311 yards in their win last week over St. Francis of Pennsylvania. They do have a dual threat quarterback in Aiden Armenta. It's going to be a great test for our run defense to have to deal with another dual threat quarterback with a rushing team. Have we improved? Can we improve? But guys, we ought to win and win easily if we prepare, if we get out there and play hard, if we make some adjustments and do what we should do. We should take care of business and cover the spread. Those are my quick notes on it. All right, G Money, give me your take, your thoughts on Louisiana Monroe in this game.
So you had a lot of ifs there, and that reminds me of the expression, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. So let's unpack some of those ifs. But first of all, this premise that La Monroe has a dual threat quarterback, I'm going to push back on that a little bit. And look, I don't know that much about Aiden Armenta. I don't. I've looked up a few things, and, you know, to be a dual threat, first, you have to be a threat at one, and two, one being passing. I don't think he's much of a threat at passing based on his stats. Last year, he had 8 touchdowns, 7 picks. In their most recent game, I believe it was last November from last year, he had like 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions. So, you know, and you compare that, like you're saying, you know, you look at Alabama's recruiting class, and I know there are different rating sites. In 23, we're number 1. 24, we're number 2. Last year, we were 3. Or 25, we're 3. I mean, look, nobody's got a better roster on paper than us. This reminds me of us Tuscaloosa guys know Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber. He fought one time. he fought this guy that was, I remember reading the description, he was the former Jamaican heavyweight, and I thought, oh man, this will be exciting. I went to the fight with some buddies, and the guy was like, you know, He had the dad bod. He hadn't boxed in 6 years. And I was like, oh, he's just a punching bag. La Monroe should be a punching bag. And, we can get into it later, but I think they will be a punching bag.
Will K.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so, but you never know with this team. I think this is the game that we need after a game like that, at home. Huge favorites. I mean, if you don't win this game, then you're in a real Rio de Caca. They might get fired off when he's on the field, but I doubt that that will happen. That would be really bad. But yeah, I think this is the game that we need, to kind of get our confidence back. And then we play Wisconsin, and then for the big one against Georgia. So, might see, depending on how we play, might see some new guys get out there, see if some spots can get taken. Maybe get to see Keelon Russell. Who knows? So I'm excited, to see what we got.
I want to see that. I want to see a game where we're up 35-0 at half. I want to see the game where the starters go out there and they jump on it. Not just one drive like we did at FSU, but let's put together four or five drives, put up 28, 31, 35 points at half. Let's shut those guys out. Let's show that we can play tough defense, that we can execute, that we can do assignment football, that we can run the ball. Let's don't abandon the run after the first quarter and not run. Let's shove it down their throats. Let's mix it up with some short intermediate passing. Do some play action, throw it over the top. I want to see that. And then, like you said, Will, I then want to see the second teamers and third team. I want to see Austin Mack get a series or two. I want to see Keelon Russell get a series or two, see what we can do. So this is that get right game to polish it up, execute, go pound somebody, assert your dominance, and then get ready for Wisconsin. And I like the potential build of take care of business here. Probably going to be one of the weakest teams we'll play. Maybe Eastern Illinois will be as weak. Then you step it up a little bit for Wisconsin. Then you've got a week off to get ready for Georgia. But our coaches have to show that they can coach them up. They've got to show that they can adjust schemes, do things that they didn't do at halftime in the last game. And I think we'll talk about this later, but guys, we're a lot closer to winning that game. And, six, eight, 10 plays really turned the game against us, where we misexecuted, were misaligned, miscoached, that caused us to lose that game instead of
A lot
winning
of
that
plays,
game.
though.
But eight or 10 plays, but I mean, it can
It's
just
not two or three. I mean, 8 to 10 plays. That's a lot of plays.
Can't we always say that, though, if we
No.
lose?
Well, but I mean, sometimes you just know that you're outmatched. And quite honestly, you look at the yardage, you look at how many times we got it to the 40-yard line of FSU and failed to score. Just those things is we lost by two touchdowns. It should have been a lot closer to that. And I'm going to blame it on coaching. I'm going to blame it on execution, not lack of talent and not lack of ability. I think if we played that team 10 times, I think we would get it right 6 out of 10. We're better than that team. Not by much, but we're better. And we'll see how good FSU is and what they do the rest of the season. And I'll talk about that later. But we can course correct. We can become a lot better team, or some major changes are going to happen to the coaching staff because I'm going to blame it on coaching because we have the talent. So, in
Is that
terms of
what you
Louisiana
think?
Monroe, that's my assessment of Louisiana Run-Mo is it's more about us than them. So if you guys have any other comments on that, let me know.
I was gonna just pick up quickly on the coaching comment. It was a bad job coaching.
No doubt.
I like to focus my sort of attention on the coordinators, and this is apples and oranges because Saban left the cupboard full. But if
Yes.
you look back and you look at, Gene Stallings was 7-5, Francione was 7-5 his first year. We went 9-4. Our scoring defense last year was 10th in the country. So, it looked, we had some promising things, but the sense I get after watching FSU, and of course Will K was down there representing, it's almost like Womack's over his head. And I'll tell you, and I'm not trying to be critical of him, but I've got a theory about that. And My theory is when DeBoer got hired, he wanted somebody who really knew the state. And it reminds me of Nate Oates and Antoine Petway, this idea of have somebody that knows the high schools, knows the coaches, that kind of stuff. And of course, Womack was both DC and then head coach at South Alabama, recruited in Alabama, recruited in the Panhandle, and that kind of thing. And so if you look back, I mean, Womack had some decent years as DC at a couple of spots, but I mean, he wasn't even a defensive player. He was a fullback, tight end when he played college ball. I just think he may be punching in the big leagues when he's not ready for it.
Well, and that's a great point, Gary. One other thing is Womack coached with DeBoer at Indiana. So they had a personal relationship too. So I think there was that familiarity with him. I think he trusted him rather than having to go through a hard interview process and trying to find the best potential guy out there and take the time. I think for the reasons you spoke of, plus he had a personal relationship with him, he trusted him and thought he could bring him in. And even though his stats looked good from last year, it was the rushing defense that was our weakness last year. Overall, the points scored, all of that, but we got handled by Vanderbilt. We got handled by Oklahoma in the rushing game. Michigan was an effective pass in the game. They didn't need to be because of the turnovers, but they were pretty effective rushing the game. And then we got really exposed in this FSU game as well. And so when you look at it, and Tennessee ran the ball really, really well as well. We did not stop Tennessee. That's why they beat us. They shoved it down our throat, and in the fourth quarter, they were tougher than us.
And
And
almost every Saban team, that was every week, that was the most confident that I was in with any skill group was, I think that we can defend the run every single week. It takes me back to 2015. Leonard Fournette comes in here and he's supposed to be this big Heisman guy and he does nothing.
right, that was Fournette versus Henry, and Henry
Yeah.
showed
And I
out
mean,
and
I just,
Fournette did nothing.
we always were good. Run defenders, there were a few years we were a little defending the pass, but we were always good at defending the run, and that has flip-flopped.
And I'll add this too. So we're all in love with our ex-wife, right? I mean, Saban's not coming back. The best thing ever, and he was the best thing, and he is the best thing ever. But
He is the goat.
I saw a buddy earlier today, and he had a Texas shirt on. He's from Texas. He's over here in Tuscaloosa right now. And he said, "Man, we went through this a long time. And we've had success for so long, we forget about DuBose and Shula and even Francione. I mean, that's normal. Rome falls, and I don't want to be Rome. I don't want to normalize failure. I don't want to do that. But a little perspective, we just subconsciously and even consciously compare what's going on now to the last 20 years. And guys, we went on a heck of a ride with the greatest coaches ever coached. And Kalen DeBoer, he's closing out these really good recruiting classes. There's some really positive things we can say about him. Let's not give up on him. Not yet.
And I'm not, but I do think
Yeah,
Kane.
well, you see, I have only lived through Nick Saban. I wasn't even conscious when Shula was here, so it's just how it goes, I guess.
Well, and the thing I was going to say, Gary, is I don't want to pick on Kane Womack, but I've got to point out what I see and the flaws. And I want to see how much Kane Womack can grow. How much he can adjust, because I haven't seen the adjustments. Why didn't he go from a 4-2 to a 5-2, or from a 4-2 to a 4-3? Why didn't he put more guys in the box and shut down those edges? And we'd seen those plays before. Those are the questions I have that we're gonna have to fix. And if Kane Womack can't fix the defense, and if I'm Kalen DeBoer, I am on the defensive side of the ball. I am on that all week. What are we doing? Are we running, the plays? Because and I'll get into this in a little bit, but some of the quotes that Kane had this week, I'm like, man, you're not taking responsibility. You are putting it elsewhere, and that really irked me. So I want to see how much he can grow and adjust. Because what was Belichick? Okay, North Carolina had a horrible outing, by the way. That was embarrassing. But you watch, Belichick's team will get better. He will rotate things, he will adjust things. North Carolina will not be that bad all year, but what has Womack done to make adjustments to shut down the key players? And that's what Belichick was famous for, is figuring out, I'm not going to let these great guys beat me. I'm going to make some also-ran beat me on the offense. I'm not going to let their star players. And he knew how to take people out of the game. I mean, shoot, his last Super Bowl against a high-powered Rams defense, they won 13-3. That's just the masterful D, and I don't know how anybody, if you're a D coordinator, even if you have a fundamental scheme, does not study what Belichick does and scheme a slightly different scheme every week for who the weapons are on the other team and how you're going to shut them down. And if he was prepared, his players should have known anything that Gus Malzahn was going to throw at him and been prepared for it. And they weren't. So I'm going to have to point those things out, and we're going to monitor it. But things can be fixed, but will they? So those were the comments I wanted to make about that. All right, G Money, any thoughts?
He's got the players. He's got the players. And I know, are there cultural things going on? I remember, Will K, you're probably not old enough to remember this, but in 2007, one of Saban's big jobs was to get rid of the prima donnas. I've seen some coverage this week about the TikTok videos in the locker room and all the stuff. It's like we're missing some resilience, some toughness, some things that we need, but we still have the talent. So maybe we need some cultural changes. And that has to come from the top. That's on Coach DeBoer 100%. This is your program. Own it. Do it. Now's the time. I'm not sure we're going to get answers to that this weekend because of who our opponent is. So if we shut down LaMonroe and they rush for 40 yards, I don't know that that tells us much.
Well, the one thing I would be encouraged by to that point is if we only win 28-10, that's discouraging. So we need to go out there and put it to them and dominate them and put it away. And then if the scrubs give up some things, okay, we're given playing time, but I want to show dominance. I want to show an ability to shut them down. So at least we're not playing with our food against inferior talent. So, but you're right. We won't know. And to me, it's going to be a step. Let's go out and dominate this week. Let's go beat up on Wisconsin. And then we're really going to find out things against Georgia when we go to Athens. That's going to be the true test, is how do we do in Athens, and can we eke out a win? Can we, I mean, one, and I, as I said this about Florida State, I wanted to win. I didn't care if we won by one or 15. I wanted that win, and it really hurt to lose the way we did. And I rewatched the game, and relooked at it, and boy, there was a lot to clean up. There's a lot there. It was just closer. And one player does something wrong on a play that blows the whole thing up, and 10 guys could be doing what they're supposed to, and one person does a bonehead thing, and all of a sudden you're in a hole. So, all right, Will K, any other thoughts there?
Gary, I do remember that 2007 prima donnas, the DJ Halls of the world.
Yes, I'm impressed.
Yes, DJ Hall. Nick Saban lost to Louisiana Monroe that year, but anyway, yeah, I think that even if we come out of this game 50-0, yeah, it'll show that, we might have some competence. We're at home, it's Louisiana Monroe, but also I agree with Gary that no matter the outcome, really, that Florida State game's still going to loom over us, and that's what we're going to think about until the Georgia game, because Wisconsin's not supposed to be great. I know they're a Power Five school, but they're not great either. We have to win both these games pretty handedly. And then if we can make a statement against Georgia and beat Georgia in Athens, then we might be back. We might it that would definitely help. But then you got Diego Pavia again the week after. Vanderbilt, watch out. You never know. So yeah, I think that this is a good get back game, and we'll see.
Hey, that wasn't you with the one finger salute, was it? But that kind of looked like you.
That was not me. That was not me.
He was around one of the people that got caught with the one finger salute, but
I was
fortunately he
there.
waited and let that guy exit the
Yeah, I was
stadium.
actually about to leave, and then my friend's like, no, we got to wait for my other friends. I was like, okay. I was like wanting to get out of there. That could have been me, though. I'm glad it wasn't.
You're much more dashing than that guy, whatever that means.
Stay classy.
That's right.
All right, so let's talk about why Bama will course correct and make the playoffs. So, to your point, Will, this game's not going to salvage the season, but it's one step. We got to take 10 good steps, and we can only afford two missteps. If we make three missteps, probably done, no playoffs. Even though 9-3, given the FSU game, wouldn't be a terrible season.
Hey, our loss is a ranked loss now. That might be a quality loss at the end of the year, actually. It's not a
Hey,
bad loss anymore, actually.
FSU's got to play Miami. They got to play Florida.
Yeah, well, for now, it's a top 15 loss.
We're gonna find out. We're gonna find out how good FSU is, but clearly they're better than they were last year by miles. And clearly they were successful in rebuilding through the portal
And
and
Gus
getting.
Malzahn goes to show you that coordinators make all the difference in the world.
Hey, and Tony White too. Give him credit because one thing that I noted is Tony White's defense, they gave up a lot of yards, but it was bend, don't break. They didn't let us get the big plays over the top, and when we had a big play over the top, they interfered and it was only 15 yards. It's not the NFL when you interfere and you get the ball on the 1 yard line, and they kept us out of the end zone by one, not letting us get over the top, the bend but don't break. We gained a lot of yards, but they had that bend but don't break defense. They did get a lot of pressure on us, but again, we had opportunities, a lot of them, to put up 10 to 21 more points than we did. So let's talk about why Bama will course correct and make the playoffs. Number one, we were humiliated on Saturday. And I think a good humbling, and the coaching staff was humbled as well. If they're not humbled, they're never going to be humbled. They should be embarrassed. I hope every coach in that building's fearful for losing their job, and they better get back to work, get smarter, get better at what they do and get better at coaching them up because, particularly on the defense and somewhat on the offense, our guys were not ready. And I don't care what Kane Womack said, and I'll get into that later. He did not have our guys ready. He claims he did. He claims they didn't do anything that we didn't know was coming. BS. We were not ready. We had not seen it enough that we recognized it and were in the correct positions to make the right plays. So we were humiliated. DeBoer is coaching for his job. I don't think there's any way he gets fired this year. I think he gets 3 years. My opinion is it's too expensive to can him this year. We can't afford to do that in this day and age of NIL. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I think DeBoer.
We're probably married to DeBoer for the next 2 years.
I
And I
think
don't think
this
that's
year or
a
next
terrible
year.
thing. That's not a terrible
Yeah,
thing whatsoever.
well,
I
and I'll
mean,
say that Nick
look at
Saban went
other
seven and
coaches we
six
could
his
get. I
first
mean,
year.
I feel like I'm defending somebody that just really disappointed us. We
Yeah.
could do a lot worse, and we have done a lot worse than Kalen DeBoer. So let's count our blessings.
Yeah, and also, who else is out there to hire?
Dabo.
John
Dabo,
Gruden?
So I think we've got him, but I do think our coordinators could go, and particularly Kane Womack. And quite honestly, unless Kane does a lot to show me that he can be flexible in his defense and make adjustments and particularly shut down the run, right now I'd fire him. I'd get rid of Kane and I'd get a new DC right now. I want someone that's more flexible. I mean, look at what Matt Patricia did. I mean, granted, he's got a ton of talent, but guys, we got good talent. And we didn't give them looks that had them confused. We didn't put even 7 men in the box consistently, let alone 8. Our ability to set the edge was terrible. How many times did our linebackers not plug the holes when they opened up? So DeBoer's coaching for his job, but I do think he gets another year. I think he gets next year too. Womack could be gone. He better step up and get a whole lot better. Defense was terrible and humiliated. Hopefully, they're all going to work together and get better. I don't know that we could have played a whole lot worse than we did. So, from that aspect, I think
They
we
had the ball
may.
last two. They could have won 38-17 if they wanted to.
They could have. But point being is that I'm not sure we can play a whole lot worse than that. So we may have seen the worst game we'll play. That doesn't mean we're not going to lose two or three more games, but I don't think we can play a whole lot worse on that. And then I think Grubb and DeBoer will get the offense back on track, clean some things up. There's stuff to be cleaned up there. But for those reasons, I really think that we can course correct and we can make the playoffs. So this was one step back. We got 11 steps more. We can afford one more misstep, but we don't have much margin for error anymore. So those are my thoughts about why we can course correct. All right, G Money, thoughts on all that?
To me, it's all about the players and some of the juniors and seniors showing some leadership. Have you guys ever been to the Mount Moore building? You walk
I
through there,
have
and
not.
if you walk through there and you understand one of the reasons why these recruits come here. AJ McCarron's talking about how we don't have as much NIL money as some other programs, and maybe that's true, but guys come here to win. And they come here to be part of an enormous legacy. And you go through the Mount Moore building, and there are these big screens that are showcasing highlights from all our national championship and rings, and I mean, all this regalia. And you just walk through in there, and you're like, man, this is like the best college program ever. And yeah, that's right. That's what we're all about. So that's why these guys are here. That's why we have the number one class, number two class, number three. We're constantly top five, top three, even top two. And we got the guys, and I think this was the wake-up call that we needed. I have concerns like you, John, about our defensive coordinator's ability to scheme, motivate, and execute, and come up even with a game plan. But that aside, I think we've got the players that'll rally behind the right leadership, however that looks, and start turning it on. And I fully expect that.
Will K.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that the defense would be a really good this year. We got a lot of guys coming back, but I think that maybe not a fluke at this point because we've lost to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, but it seems to be a scheme issue with Cain Womack. He didn't have trouble with LSU at all, really.
And
First
why
time
was
he was
that? Why was that?
Because it's a pro style offense. There's no misdirection. There's no running quarterback.
Right, that's right.
We and
Nussmeier's not, he
yeah,
doesn't
I
have
mean,
the
and
elusiveness
that
of
I know we
Castellanos.
just got humiliated, but it's at home. I still think that we beat LSU this year. I do think that they're going to come in here. I believe that we're going to beat LSU this year still, even after that game. But
The boar's undefeated at home, and he's going to have to continue that streak. And
I think
that's
we win
how we
all of
make the
our games at
playoffs,
home.
is we go undefeated at home, and then we go 3-1 on the road in the SEC, and we make it back. That we need to do that. But LSU, boy, they did a great job in the portal too. They looked really good against Clemson, and they shored up their defense.
And in that Missouri game last year, I don't know if y'all remember this, but it was a whooping,
Yes.
and Missouri was about to score. We had like our second or third string guys out there. Cain Womack puts the starters back in to complete the shutout. Can we do that again? Let's keep doing that. I mean, a lot of teams wouldn't do that, but he wanted the shutout that bad. So, I mean, that showed me something, but he might need to get divorced from his swarm defense, and put a few more guys in the box, maybe three linebackers. Because teams are going to look at that. And I'm sure that's what Gus Malzahn did. I'm sure he looked at that Vanderbilt game and ran that offense because we couldn't stop it. Gave up 40 to Vanderbilt. But the defense showed flashes last year, particularly in the last half of the year, played well against Wisconsin on the road. I was hoping that this game was going to be like Wisconsin from last year. He'd go in there, beat them 42 to 10, but it didn't happen. So I hope that we can see some better stuff this week.
Well, and there's an old expression, if you touch a hot stove and it burns you once, don't touch it again. A lot of it's going to come down to his, certainly confidence, Womack's confidence, but it's also going to come down to his ego. And what I'm saying, Will, is are you willing to change? Because you've got a lot of guys, you think about this. If you're a 4 or 5 star recruit, you're not only an amazing athlete, you're competitive, you like to win, you're one of the best in your high school, your area, your county, your state, whatever. They're not supposed to be listening to external voices or whatever, but every player on our team is hearing all the hate, they're hearing all the detractors, they're seeing what people are saying about this team being washed up and done for the season. I think that's going to motivate them, and I think we're going to start seeing something.
So let me tell you what Womack said, and this really, really bothered me. So, from his comments to the media, he expressed disappointment in the team's issues, noting they did not play to the level that we are capable as a defense. He acknowledged the defense played hesitant and timid at times, particularly in response to the Seminoles' lateral movement and mobile quarterback, Tommy Castellanos. He added that while they were prepared for Florida State's offensive schemes, including trick plays and run elements, they failed to execute. No, you didn't have them prepared, because guess what? If they were prepared, they would have executed. That drives me crazy that he said they were prepared. He should have said, we weren't prepared enough, we weren't ready for it, and he should have fallen on the sword, not thrown his players under the bus. That really is bad. And he, as you said, Will, he's too married to that 4-2-5 scheme. He needs to be multiple and variable in the looks, and depending on what they're doing and the situations, what they do. And we'll see. We'll see what he does this week. We'll see what he does against Wisconsin. And if he can show some really good defensive performance in both of those games, I'll have a lot of confidence going into Georgia. I think we're going to win both of these games, even if we don't improve as much as I would like. And then it's going to be Georgia that's the show me game. And we come out of that loss with the Georgia game, then we got to run the tables the rest of the way. It's going to be tough.
I
But
know that there's not a lot of optimism going into it, but going into this year, but I know how this is going to play out. I think that somehow we're going to, because we always have Georgia's number, we're going to beat Georgia and LSU this year. You watch. But we're going to drop one we're not supposed to drop, like a Vanderbilt or a Missouri. We're going to get the hope back, and then it's going to go away, and it might be even worse feeling than it is right now, because we could then show that we can beat good teams and be a good team. So that's
well,
my prediction.
I hope DeBoer learned from last year, where we'd get a big win and then we'd go on the road and have a letdown.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's going to happen?
Well, I hope he's learned from that, and
Yeah.
he realizes that Saban was, when guys would get a big win, he was on their tails the next week about getting refocused, and that old on to Cincinnati. And we got to put, okay, that's a great to get a win. You celebrate for 24 hours, and you got to move on and get ready for the next one, because every week it is tough. I think the SEC is as tough as it's ever been. I don't know, other than maybe a Kentucky, a Mississippi State, and Arkansas, that there are any breather games on the schedule. And we don't have any of those three on our schedule. I don't know that there's an easy SEC game on your schedule.
No.
So that even makes it more compelling to buy a $12 ticket and rock on in the stadium this Saturday night. It's going to be fun.
Amen. Amen. So I did like this that Womack said. He said 100% those things will get fixed. He said the issues are fixable, which I agree, and he says they're going to get fixed. Well, do it. Get out there and practice, take ownership, be humble, and be better at your job, and then get the players ready to go. And he's got 3 weeks to build to Georgia, but he better be ready, and he's going to see a big dose of the Gus Malzahn, Vanderbilt, and what Oklahoma did as well. Because what Oklahoma did is they stole Vanderbilt's offense, and they just ran the ball and did the same thing that Diego Pavia did. So we better be ready for that.
And then they said, stop Jalen Milroe's legs, and they did that.
Yeah, very effective. Very, very effective in that standpoint. So, those things, we'll see. So now let's talk about issues that need to be fixed on the offense. So there's correctable mistakes on the defense. Well, I'm going to go back to the defense, because I do want to talk about five plays that had we just executed on two of these five plays instead of having five big miscues, had we, and they were all very executable, then we would have taken 14 points off the board for FSU, and all of a sudden we're tied at 17 all instead of down 31-17. I know this is in the ifs and up, if, ands, and buts, but Squirrel White, 3rd and 11, why are we single covering and press coverage with nobody over the top? 40 yards, boom, they score after that. I know he didn't score on that play, but that's horrible. How are you not aware of that? Easily fixable. You take that play off the board. We get off the field, get the ball back, no touchdown. Two reverses. One went for a touchdown. The other one got him into the red zone. Okay, the first time we got burned, we should have known Malzahn's going to do it. But when they ran it twice, and it worked to perfection twice, how do you not see it coming the second time? You clearly were unprepared, and I guess you didn't think they'd run the same play again, but they did, and we bit on it both times. So those are three touchdowns that we could have prevented with better execution. If you'd had 7 men in the box instead of six, if you'd set the edge, if you'd recognize the reverse, and then the wheel route. That came right out of the South Carolina game where they burned us on that. We should have expected teams to run that wheel route, and there was no safety over the top. No way Deontay Lawson's going to keep up with Jalen Lucas. He's too fast, and there was no safety over the top for help. Big play. And then it was that roughing the passer penalty on 3rd and long to extend that drive, and they scored. That is inexcusable. Those are all correctable plays. So that gives me hope that if we can get better and Womack does his job and the players respond, we can avoid those horrible mistakes that give up touchdowns that we just can't give up if we want to win. So I really like that it shows that, you know, you just eliminate two of those five mistakes and we take 14 points off the board and it's 17 all and it's anybody's ball game. So I wanted to make those points. Any thoughts on those defensive lapses, defensive lack of execution and stupidity?
I would just say that making the adjustment of more stacking the box and defending the run part of that doesn't cost anything this weekend. Because, you know, you got a guy who you're calling him a dual threat quarterback, but he can't deliver the rock. Like I said, last regular season game, one TD, three picks. His quarterback rating last year was really bad. He led a team that was 3-5 in the Sun Belt. I mean, I think it doesn't risk much to play more guys up and stack the box a little bit and just be like, you know, last week we gave up 230 yards and Will K, you saw every bit of that. This week, it's like, we're not going to make that mistake again. And because of the huge talent gap, we've got DBs that can man cover their guys. And, you know, in other words, we won't know if we fixed it this weekend. I don't think this weekend is going to tell us that much about our defensive improvement.
Unless we play poorly. If we get if we get shredded by them, then I'll be like fire Kane Womack right now, and you know promote
whoever. They're the Jamaican national champ, whatever heavyweight boxer. They just don't have the personnel. This would be like, again, I'm not trying to cast any disrespect on them, but this is us playing a team that wants a check, and you know they can't. They should not be able to score on us, even if we have a mediocre game. They shouldn't score on us.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Will K, thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that this week's going to show us a lot. Be good to have one in the win column, even with ULM. It'll give us something. It'll give us something. Won't go 0-12 at least. I'm just waiting for Georgia, I guess.
Well, I really want to do this a step at a time. I want to see the progression this week. I want to see the intensity. I want to see the domination. That's a good way to get ready. Then I want to see the build for Wisconsin. I want to see improvement and us to go out and do what we did to them last year up there. I want to stomp them here. I want to beat them 42-14 or, you know, 42-10. Let's build that domination, and then we got a week off to get healthy and then go up to Georgia and watch that dog fight, and hopefully we do what we normally do, which is somehow figure out how to beat them. So
I'm sure they'll help out a good amount, but we'll have Tim Keenan and Jim Miller back for the game.
Yeah. Did you guys see Jeremiah Beeman, by the way? News flash, Jeremiah Beeman's hurt and probably out for the season. So that was a tough one to take, is, Injuries are going to happen, and that was a very physical game, and apparently he's injured. So I'm glad we have some depth. Those guys are young who are the backups, but we do have depth in that D line, but those guys are going to have to step up, and we need Tim Keenan to get healthy. All right, so let's talk about correctable issues on the offense now. So we had four trips to the FSU 40-yard line and beyond and came away with 0 points. Missed field goal. And then we had three turnovers on downs. And, so we got to figure out if we come away with 10 points on those drives instead of goose egg, then all of a sudden it's instead of 17, it's 31-27, and we got a shot. So we can't have those empty trips like that where we get into their territory and come away with nothing. Now, the kicking game's a concern. I think field goals 40 yards and in, we're comfortable. I think we know it's kind of shaky from 40 to 45, and it doesn't seem like we've got somebody that can hit a field goal outside of 45. So we're going to have to go for it on fourth down more. But if we're going to go for it on fourth down, on third down, quit trying to pick up the first down on third down. Be quick to just dump the ball off, pick up 2, 3, 5 yards, make a positive play on third down so you're in third and short rather than third and long. And if you pick up the first down on third down, great. But I think that was a failure is one, we gave up running the ball too quickly. We ran the ball a lot on that first drive. And after that, it was two pass plays for every run play. I think that's terrible. We had plenty of situations where they had six guys in the box. And we chose to pass the ball, and we played right into their hands. And then when we did pass the ball, we weren't willing to do the Tom Brady to Wes Welker 3-yard pass, 4-yard pass. It was all trying to go intermediate or long and hit those plays, and we weren't as effective as you would like. And picking up, if it's second and eight, you pick up 3 to 5 yards on a quick pass. That's great. And then the other thing on those pass plays is Simpson's got to learn to quickly, if he's getting heat, check it down. Check it down to that safety valve and get the ball out quick and keep the chains moving, or at least pick up positive yards and not get into those negative plays. But the offense was better than the defense. If we grade the offense a C minus to D, the defense was an F. But there was a lot to like on the offense when I went back and looked at it, although there was a run play where we had an easy pitch that should have gone for 7 to 8 yards. We had two pulling linemen, and they get about 2 yards off the line of scrimmage, and there's nobody to block. And instead of checking to look for somebody coming from the backside, if they had stopped, they would have walled off that backside defender. They ran to the, they ran 5 to 7 yards down the field, and that guy chased the play down. Whereas if they had just slowed down a little bit, you can probably guess who one of the linemen was. But it's like, guys, what are you doing? Because we had an easy wall to go 7, 8 yards, and when you get 3 yards instead of 8 yards, because your linemen are not aware. Those kind of plays really, really hurt. And then also using a tight end, using the running back to chip on the edge rushers. Because if you're chipping, then the tackle who got beat inside multiple times could have allowed that rusher to go to the outside, get chipped. That slows it down. And then you got a safety valve, or the quarterback's got more time. So they're correctable things. I saw the offense, some good things that they did, but we just couldn't finish the drives. So those things gave me some hope, but we've got to do a better job of the short intermediate pass, and we cannot abandon the run. We get down 10 points, it's not an excuse to abandon the run. You got to set up the pass with the run, use play action, correctable mistakes. I hope Ryan Grubb is going to do more of that. We'll see, but I saw those type of things when I went back and watched the game film again. Offense was better than defense. We left plays on the field. We had opportunities. We can be really good offensively, but we got to execute. We got to be precise. And again, one person blows it up and doesn't do their job, and there you go. And the drive's killed. G Money, thoughts?
Well, I was going to ask you something since you've had the luxury of rewatching the game, which I've not. I've watched some clips. What did you think about Ty's accuracy? And the reason I'm asking that is, yes, there were some drops that you wouldn't expect, but on the other hand, he had one of the most forgettable 250-yard plus passing games. And of course, he was on the run a lot. We kind of covered that in the last episode, but What did you think, having kind of broken down the game again? What did you think about his passing accuracy?
If I'm a defensive coordinator going against him, I want to put heat on him because that's when he was inaccurate. He was inaccurate when he couldn't get his feet set and he was scrambling and moving around and feeling the heat, which is all the more reason why I think we need to keep extra blockers in. If you want to send them out, you got to make them chip first and then get into a pass, into a, a short dump off pass play to be a safety valve. But that's what I saw is he was very accurate and he threw nice balls when he had a little bit of time. But when he had heat on him, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He does not have that ability when he's got heat on him to be highly accurate. And then there was that pass play where he's scrambling and could have run for the first down on fourth down. And I thought had he just pump faked like he was going to throw, he could have fooled the guys and easily run it in, but then he threw the ball at Ryan Williams' feet. And Ryan Williams didn't have a great game. But one thing I will say is Simpson had a really good connection with Jeremy Bernard, and he was good. Some plays where I thought he had a little bit of heat, he would find Bernard, and I was like, why aren't you throwing it to the short guy? And then I'd see him just nail Jeremy Bernard down the field. So Bernard was able to get open. They have a good connection. Quavis was okay, but he didn't seem to have a connection with anybody else on the team. And when you put heat on him, he's going to struggle. He's not as bad as Milroe. When Milroe had the heat on him, Milroe was going to do all sorts of crazy things. But I do think Grubb's got to design some plays where it's boom, boom, ball out. I don't care if it's a 2 yard, just a quick hitter, 2, 4, 5 yard, just boom, boom, boom on second down. Don't go for the first down, second. Go for the 2 yard, the 4 yard, and just move it closer so you're in short and medium, third and medium or third and short, not trying to get the first down on second, get a first down on second down by going for 12 to 15 yards. Quick hitting passes, pull the defense up, then you can go over the top. That
And
was
look at
my
and you can
take.
break a big play on that, right? I mean, Tua was the best at the little quick slants that would turn out
Yeah.
to be 30, 40 yard. So, I said preseason, I thought that our success on offense was going to come down to pass pro, and FSU didn't give us a great sort of, a way to feel very good about that. This weekend, again, not dismissing the opponent, but I guess I am. We're just not, our guys should manhandle their line. Our five starting offensive linemen should manhandle our line. Our tight end should be able to play assignment football pretty easily. So Ty should have time to set his feet, maybe make some big plays. I was going to ask you, John or Will K, does anybody, what are you hearing about Isaiah Horton
Hurt.
injured?
He's
Is he
hurt.
still injured?
He's hurt. So he won't play.
Next guy up.
Yeah. But we don't
Old
need him
Cole
this
Adams.
week. We don't need him. We need Isaiah Horton healthy for Georgia. I'm fine if he sits. The wide receiver room's deep. I think Lotsier Brooks is going to play. Ryan Williams probably won't play. And Lotsier Brooks is probably better built for the slot than Ryan Williams is. I think Ryan Williams in the slot's a mistake. They need to put him on the outside. And he needs to do what Squirrel White did, which is run people downfield and look for those mismatches and just take off. I think, yeah, Horton's probably not going to play. All right, Will K, what else?
I think we about covered it pretty much, just we'll see this week. Maybe we'll get to see some guys maybe step up. Lots of Brooks. See what the offensive line can do. Hopefully they play angry. See what we got at running back. Because once again, that first drive was awesome. I was like, I mean, we just go right down there and score 9 minutes. And then just 55 yards, and then we only have like 30 the rest of the game.
But we abandoned the run. We
That's
did
why
not
I'm.
do. We did not do. So that's a scheme OC thing. I blame that on Grubb for abandoning the run. We didn't need to do that. You're only down 10. Run the ball.
And this is the most forgettable 250-yard performance because we were playing from behind the whole time. So you weren't thinking about how many yards is getting. Oh, that was a good throw. We're like, we need to get points on the board. Let's go. But looking at his stat line, it wasn't bad. I mean, he was like a little bit over 50% completion percentage, but zero turnovers, two touchdowns,
Well, I don't know if we can let you go to Athens, man.
Oh, I'm not going. I'm not going. But If we play better and we don't lose another game, I might go to South Carolina only because it's close. But
Lenoris, he's a
I
dual
haven't been
threat.
to that many Alabama road losses.
Well, I think we're
I've
going to
actually been
keep
to more
you
home losses.
until we get a road win. You can't go to a road game. If we win at Georgia, then we'll unleash the hounds, and you can go to a road game. But until we get a road SEC win, you're not allowed.
Fine.
Okay. All right.
Sacrifices I'm making for this football team. You gotta put it on my
And for
shoulders, not on.
this podcast. All
Yeah,
right,
man.
any other parting shots? G Money parting shots.
It's player time. I heard that they had a player-only meeting after the game and pep talk time. And look, like you were saying earlier, let's play angry and let's get one of these 63-3 games or 63-0 games and start building some momentum. The time is now.
Will K, parting shots.
Let's win by 50. Let's get back to the standard.
All right, I'm optimistic. We are going to go 10-2. We're going to course correct. All of these things are correctable. We can play a lot better. We can really do this, but coaches are going to have to coach better. They're going to have to scheme better. Players are going to have to do their jobs. But we can do it. We've got the talent. I'm going to stay optimistic until we've got four losses. I'm going to be optimistic. And that's it. All right, guys, thanks for joining me. Thank you all for listening. Subscribe, follow, like, hit the notify button wherever you access the podcast. God bless and roll tide.
Roll Tide.